We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we have recorded this podcast on, the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation.
We pay our respects to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people on the lands which Deep Herd operates.
Welcome back to the Grains Convo podcast, brought to you by the Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development in Western Australia. I'm Cindy Webster.
And I'm Jeanette Pratt, and we are research scientists based in regional WA. These episodes shine a spotlight on the knowledge and tools developed by DPIRD to grow the grains industry. In today's episode, I'm talking with DPIRD research scientist Jeff Russell and Ben White, GRDC grain storage specialist, and we're going to be discussing silo cleaning and grain storage. Welcome to the podcast, Jeff and Ben.
Thank you very much, Jeanette.
Thanks, Jeanette.
Before we dive into everything about silo cleaning and grain storage, can we get a bit more of a background about each of your roles? Jeff, we'll start with you. Can you give us a bit of an intro to yourself?
Yes, I'm the WA Grains Biosecurity Officer. It's a position that's funded by growers through GPA, Grain Producers Australia, and managed through Plant Health Australia. We're a national network of GBOs, and our role is to kind of create awareness of biosecurity issues that may be in the industry at a national level, as well as do other smaller activities like a bit of surveillance and things like that too.
And Ben, how about yourself?
Jeanette, I'm an agricultural engineer, obviously working in the grains space, and this particular role is a GRDC grain storage extension role. So I help growers around the wheat belt look after grain storage requirements or information requirements and give them advice as to, you know, I suppose how they can maintain the quality of grain that they might have in storage, whether that's seed or feed grain or market bound grain.
Okay, so before we get into the nitty-gritty, Jeff, can you tell us why it's so important growers maintain good hygiene when it comes to cleaning their silos and storing grain?
What we're trying to do with these messages is to kind of do our best to stop the continuation over a season of any grain contamination that might be on the farm. So if farmers practice good hygiene, such as cleaning up around their silos, fumigating at the right standards and using sealed silos, that's one way of doing it. But also they need to be aware that they have to clean out their grain handling equipment as well, because there's always grain in the fronts of harvesters and things like this. So they need to be looking at that they're not going to carry over a pest from one season to the next.
Ben, do you have anything to add to that?
I think Jeff made a really good point there with regard to the handling equipment. We've often got hoppers underneath silos. We might turn those upside down so they don't get full of water. That's fantastic, I guess, shelter for insects. Insects require shelter and food, and we've got a potential food source with scrap grain lying around. So, you know, what we need to do is go around and clean all of that up. And the other point that Jeff rightly made is the handling equipment. And I think just to illustrate the point, some work done out of DAF in Queensland found that during the first 40 litres that came out of what was considered a clean harvester, there was 1,000 lesser grain borers in that 40 litres of grain. So it gives you an idea that while, you know, we might think that things are nice and clean, we might think that we've done a really good job on hygiene post-harvest, but the reality is that, you know, we can always do a little bit better. And so it's worth looking in all the unusual spots that we probably don't normally consider. So yeah, by all means, clean out the silos, but also make sure the handling gear is clean as well.
So Jeff and Ben, you've both made a few tips on making sure that we clean out all our handling gear as well. But what are some of the more important steps or procedures besides that you need to take?
Well, I'd say on farm is the use of sealed silos and checking that the silos are properly sealed and doing pressure tests on the silos coming into harvest. Or if in the place of not having sealed silos, looking at things, and Ben will probably be more expert at this, is the use of aeration on farm, in farm silos.
So what would you recommend in that case, Ben?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we can do is that, you know, while we've got silos that may need a clean out, a structural treatment is something we can add as well. So a lot of silos in the wheat belt, typically smaller gas tight sealable silos, they'll require typically a sweep out and try and get rid of any dregs that might be in the bottom of the silo. And then on a warmish sort of day, if you can, or at least a dry day, a firefighter in from the top of the silo to give that a good rinse out is a good option. If there's no ladders on the silo, obviously you have to do that from the bottom, try and squirt some water up and just try and wash the silo out as best you can. And the reason I say you want to do it on a warm day is you want that to all dry out as well, the inside of the silo, so open it up. And the structural treatment that I mentioned earlier could be something like dryside. So not a lot of dryside is required. Follow the label, obviously, but that can be administered through the manhole and the bottom access door, opening the top lid and pushing that in with either a blowback gun, for example, or a small blower. So getting that diatomaceous earth or DE, as it's sometimes known, into the silo as a structural treatment is a really good option. And we need to do that at least 2 weeks before we start to fill it with grain. And in fact, if we're talking about timing, now's a great time to be doing your silo hygiene. It's when insects are most dormant, and it's a really good opportunity to, as Jeff said earlier, get that clean break and start afresh before we start putting fresh grain into those silos and through that handling gear.
So, Ben, you've just mentioned that now's a really good time to start cleaning those out. What about things like withholding periods that growers might need to be aware of with some of those chemicals that they're using?
Now, diatomaceous earth, which I mentioned as a structural treatment, doesn't have a withholding period. It's actually an organic product. So we recommend that as an internal silo product. Look, if you are storing, say, pulses in there, and there are some growers in the west storing, say, lentils, for example, in the southern part of the state, you might want to give it a bit of a rinse because it can change the angle of repose for a little bit of grain in the bottom. But by and large, we're talking about very small volumes. So, and as I said, no withholding period. It's an organic product and one that's actually very effective. And the testing that's been done by DAF Queensland backs that up. So, you know, that's a great go-to as far as structural treatments go.
And Jeff, for any growers that might be using phosphine, have you got any tips for their safety, the OH&S involved with using phosphine?
Yes. The first thing is make sure you read the labels to cover that sort of stuff, as well as how much phosphine to put in for the capacity of the silo, but also the safety equipment you require, such as a face mask, respirator, should have full overall covers over yourself, and never really go into a silo that has been treated with phosphine. It is a deadly gas. People have been killed by venturing into a silo. So, you know, treat it with respect.
What about some of the consequences of leaving the cleaning of silos too late? What are some of the issues that can arise there?
The obvious one is if you're treating it too late, you're not going to have that time for withholding periods, and you might get extra residue on your grain. But it's just that you're not going to get a good kill. You want to try and have a nice break between one season to the other. And I guess the other thing is also the build-up of, especially if the silos aren't sealed and properly maintained, if you've got leaky silos or unsealable silos, is the development of resistance of insects to phosphine.
Ben, do you have anything to add to Jeff's comments about safety using phosphine?
Well, I think Jeff made some really good points about the dangers of phosphine and how noxious it is. It is a very dangerous gas. I think one of the things that we can do, as Jeff mentioned, is wear a full face mask, a full face respirator with the correct category filters on it. It should be noted that phosphine, it can be doing your damage as little as 1 part per million, but the gas can only be smelled at 2 parts per million. So if you can smell it, it's already doing your damage. So it's important to note that. And I would add that you can get personal phosphine meters that will pick up 0.3 of a part per million of the phosphine gas, and which gives you an early indication if there is phosphine, say if you might be operating in an area which is under fumigation or has been previously, or even if you're outloading some grain that may have been under fumigation previously. That's just a good safeguard, I guess, just to have a little personal phosphine meter there. They cost about $1,000, and I guess as a reassurance or peace of mind piece of equipment, that's definitely one to think about.
Ben, is there anything else growers need to be aware of when they're using phosphine? When you're opening your silos up, what are some of the tips there? Do you need to leave them to air out for a certain period of time before you think about putting grain in there after you've used phosphine?
Oh, well, I think the thing with phosphane is that it's normally used in a full, well, hopefully a full silo of grain. According to the label, there are some requirements for both ventilation and withholding. So there are some differences whether you've got aeration on. If you've got an aeration system on a silo, you're looking at one day of aeration or ventilation. And if you don't have one of those on, and look, I have to say the uptake of aeration in WA is actually quite low. Unfortunately, it's something we're working on. But for those that don't have aeration, you're looking at 5 days ventilation period. So you can really shorten up the ventilation and therefore the fumigation process by having aeration on your silos.
Jeff, do you have any final takeaway messages like you'd like to add?
The important stuff with this sort of work is that prevention is better than cure saying. So that in order to prevent pests in your grain or the development of resistance to phosphine, do things properly, do things early. As mentioned, now's a good time to start thinking about it, getting things clean and set up for that. Also, the cleaning of your harvesting equipment, augers, that sort of stuff, because they will be part of the supply of pests over the season sort of thing between one harvest to the other.
And what about from your perspective, Ben? Is there anything that you would like to add?
I think growers should remember that if they need some help with grain storage information, they're more than welcome to get in touch. And look, the GRDC does have a wealth of information on the Stored Grain website. That's storedgrain.com.au. Or they can get in touch with me on 1-800-WEEVIL, which is a pretty easy number to remember. That's 1-800-933-845. And, of course, you know, the department has some great information on the department website as well, and certainly some of the biosecurity information that Jeff was talking about is there as well. So, yeah, plenty of information sources, but don't be afraid to reach out. Helps just around the corner when it comes to grain storage.
Jeff and Ben, thank you very much for coming on the podcast and highlighting the reasons why it's so important to begin silo cleaning early and some of the handy tips that you've given us today for grain storage.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jeanette.
More information on this topic can be found in the show notes. If you like this episode, you can download and subscribe to Grains Convo on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
We'll be back on the 1st and 15th of every month with a new episode. Thanks for listening.